What is going on, all you Snug Wrestling listeners and followers? Thank you for being a part of the show. I just want to give a quick reminder, if you're listening to this, please be sure to leave a star rating and leave a review, as it goes a long way. It means a lot, and it's easier for other people to find the show if you leave those star ratings and leave the review. I would really, really much appreciate it if you guys did that. Also, follow us on all of the social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at Snug Wrestling, and don't forget to keep it snug. The other thing, too, and this is the last thing I'm going to say because we need to move on. This is the same guy that low-blowed you. Hold on, Tommy. Hold on.
Slow your roll.
This is the same guy that low-blowed you at Elimination Chamber, embarrassed you, made you bleed, betrayed you after all these years, and you're not going to go after him. You're not going to attack him. You're not going to nothing. That was the only thing that was kind of weird, but I still really enjoyed this whole promo. It's also a good thing to make us wait for it. It's also a good thing to make us wait for the physicality. Do we really want to see Cody and John Cena have like these pull aparts like everyone else on the show is? No, not really. I mean,
this is one of the few feuds that actually deserves it. Dude, you kicked me in the balls when you went in for a hug. You held my legs down while a rapper burst my eardrum and gave me a black eye, and The Rock whipped me with a belt with my own dad's death date on it. Yes, this is going to be a pull apart brawl. More than the others, this one needs it because it earned it. I would have beat his ass, not talked to him for 3 minutes.
What's that, though? The problem with that. I saw they're going to do a contract signing eventually. And that is the stereotypical thing with contract signings. It's the biggest issue I have with that entire concept. It's the fact that every time there's a contract signing, like there was tonight, which we probably are going to get to later on, it always ends with a table being broke and a massive brawl. Every damn time.
Well, moving from one WrestleMania event to the other WrestleMania event, Jey Uso had a match versus my boy Austin Theory. Poor Austin Theory. My boy Austin Theory. You know what? I appreciate Austin Theory because he's such a team player. But if I was Austin Theory and someone told me, hey, you got to go out there and you're going to get squashed by Jey Uso in under fucking 30 seconds, I probably would have flipped a few bricks, to be honest. Because, I mean, I know, I get it. It's Jey Uso. He's got to look good for WrestleMania. But it's Austin fucking Theory. Austin Theory looks like a million fucking dollars. But anyway, that's not the point. The point here is Jey Uso is looking really good, beating fools like legitimate dudes like Austin Theory, compared to Gunther, who's struggling with Akira Tozawa and Otis and Axiom. So that's the story going into WrestleMania here. Things are looking way better for Jey Uso right about now, but not before Gunther came out and attacked Jey Uso from behind. Now, some people are saying, I think Toxic said that Jey Uso got out of the sleeper hold. I missed that part. But it looks like Gunther, no matter how his matches have been going, Gunther has been getting the last laugh on Jey Uso for the past several weeks. Besides the top dollar type suicide dive that Jey Uso did, that Corey Graves even said, this is why you don't do high risk before WrestleMania, because Jey Uso almost fucked himself up. BT, let's start with you first. What were your thoughts on this squash match with Jey Uso versus Austin Theory?
I think this is the start of the crash out Jey that we are wanting to see, and I fucking love it. Jey coming out there, doing his yeet stuff. He wasn't coming through the crowd. He usually comes out through the crowd. He was going in there for business, and he did his thing. People say that he may not be, that he's not that good at the wrestling techniques. He throws the weakest punches. He isn't that fucking technical in the ring. I understand that. I understand. But when he was running those ropes, he isn't a Bron Breakker or anything, but he was looking good. He looked real good. Mm-hmm. And then the spear, simple as that, 1, 2, 3. And that's a hell of a statement. And that statement is fuck them haters. He is proving that he has what it takes to take down Gunther. And Gunther, yet again, proves Toxic's point that I added to my TikTok story that he said last week. Fucking Gunther can only attack Jay from behind and choke him out when he's not being seen. Because that makes that, that's where he's brave. But he can't fucking confront him one-on-one. You're telling me that you could confront Cody Rhodes one-on-one, but you can't confront Jay. That's very confusing to me, and that's very worrying for somebody like Gunther, who has spent 75% of his career as champion and feels like his reputation is going to be destroyed. Basically, if he loses to Jay, his reputation will be laughed at, basically. But he's still going to be recognized as one of the greatest champions of all time, like, no matter how anybody wants to put it. But to lose to Jay at WrestleMania, and I know people always say, like, Gunther losing back-to-back WrestleManias makes Gunther the worst superstar. Here's the difference between WrestleMania 40 and WrestleMania 41. Jay deserves that shot. Sami Zayn took the shot from Chad Gable. Chad Gable fully deserved that last year for the Intercontinental Championship. Nobody can change my mind on that. That is a very big difference. Sami Zayn was being told an underdog story that should have been a world championship worthy story. But because they had Drew McIntyre going up against Seth Rollins, they had to pivot. And with the story, they had too many stories being told, so they had to pivot and fucking interject Sami Zayn's story with Chad Gable and Gunther. Whereas Chad Gable has been trying to prove that he can beat Gunther, but yet Sami Zayn takes the spotlight? And then not only that, beats Gunther just for a shock value. Like, that was the one thing that pissed me off about that. So, but back to Jay, he fully deserves that title shot. I don't care what anybody tells me. The Squash Mash was a message. Fuck the haters. We are crashing out on this WrestleMania build. And I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Gunther beat Jay too. All right, Tommy, let's hear from you.
As much as I completely agree wholeheartedly with BT, there's one thing that's driving me insane. Why the hell is Jay, and this is including next week, doing 3 weeks in a row with fucking A-Town Down Under?
Is he?
3 weeks in a row? Last week with Waller, this week with Theory, and then a tag match next week?
Oh, but I mean, it's different. It's variety there. You have different matches there.
I get that, but even Gunther is going up against different people each week, not the exact same tag team 3 weeks in a row.
Well, I can tell you why that is, Tommy. It's not only because A-Town Down, they're a heel tag team, but they're both good singles wrestlers that are great workers in the ring that can make Jey Uso look really good individually and in a tag team match. So I think that's the big reason why they're using Waller and Theory basically job out to Jey Uso.
Then why all 3 weeks in a row? He could move on to somebody else next week instead of a random tag match to put him right back in the tag situation again.
Making Jey look good.
He already looks good.
Not good enough.
Yeet!
Toxic, let's hear from you. Let's hear from you, Toxic, and then Mr. Blood.
Okay. I have to make a point real quick. We all agree that Jey's best entrance has to be Backlash 2024, right? Or, yeah, 2024, right? I think tonight topped it. Tonight topped it. In my opinion, it topped it. But it was exactly the same, but just a little bit better. I don't know why, but it's better for me. Now, back to the point. Of course, Jey's going to get a squash match against Theory. No hate against Theory. Theory carries A-Town down under. Grayson Waller fucking sucks. Yeah, but it's not a surprise. I mean, you're just going to give him... You're just going to beat him down next week and think that he's not going to come unglued on your ass. And like you said to Gunther and backstage, I don't know when, but you said that you're going to give me 10 weeks of hell. Well, you just awoke a damn beast. Jay's crashing out. He's crashing out. So Jey has evolved than what he was last time they faced.
Well, Toxic, you say, of course, he was going to get a squash match, but I say this was unexpected. I can't remember the last time I've seen a squash match, so I thought it was well done. It made Jey look good, which is the point. He's the main event of WrestleMania, one of the nights. And his whole entrance was a lot longer than his actual match. I bring that up because we mentioned that earlier today too, but go ahead, finish your thoughts, Toxic, and then we'll move on to Mr. Blood.
Okay, and I want to answer something that Tommy said. The reason why they're having him go back-to-back matches with A-Town Down Under, why the same tag team, I don't know, but back-to-back matches, is because the World Heavyweight Championship, it's a workhorse title, right? It's a workhorse title, right? They're going to obviously, if Jey's going to win it, they're obviously going to make him go back-to-back matches. Why against the same tag team? I don't know.
All right, so I'll answer several questions at the same time here. Reason is he didn't come in through the crowd, probably because they know that the city of Brussels was so rowdy. They probably just didn't want to risk them getting too rowdy with Jey while he was making his way down the stairs. No one wants to get attacked by a happy crowd and then trip and bump and fall their way down a whole staircase. Two. The reason that they keep having him face the same team over and over again is because it's a mini feud, a filler feud on his way to Mania that can also keep incorporating Gunther. It's about the numbers game here. A-Town Down is the thorn in his paw, and then here comes Gunther, the snake behind his back. It's just telling a classic story, trying to show everybody Jey can overcome all odds, even if all those odds are at the same time. Thirdly, when it comes to Austin Theory, and even though I went last, I was so hoping no one would make this point because I thought this is a massive point. I'm going to blow your fucking minds right now, guys. The fact is that I'm going to blow your mind here. When you look at the fact that Gunther, they've been telling the story that Gunther can barely get past Axiom and Otis and Akira Tozawa, but he keeps sneak tacking Jey. And then you guys want to look over at, well, why they booked Theory in a squash match. Well, of course they booked Theory in a squash match. You're missing the point here. Here's a huge point for you that no one brought up. Theory has a former WrestleMania win over the guy who might be the longest, biggest reign, or the most reigns in history, world champion of all time, John Cena. He has literally beaten the greatest of all time at WrestleMania. So if you just showed me that Jey Uso just squashed the guy who beat Cena decisively, I might add, at WrestleMania, the same guy who's in a main event against Cody Rhodes for the number 17 record-breaking world championship of WWE, and Jay just beat Austin in less than a minute and 20 seconds. But Cena couldn't beat Austin Theory, but he's supposed to beat Cody. That right there tells you everything you need to know. And I'll be surprised if Jey Uso doesn't bring that up to Gunther at some point. Gunther going, you're not on my level. You can't beat me this, that, and the third. Yeah, well, I beat Austin Theory. What's that supposed to mean? Well, Austin Theory beat John Cena. Clean, by the way. He beat him clean at Mania. He didn't cheat to win. Austin Theory pinned John Cena clean. Gunther can't get a one-up on Jay unless there's someone distracting him, you know, some bullshit with the ref, because remember, the last time they faced, Jay should have won. Remember that, that bullshit from the ref? Yeah. So the fact of the matter is, Austin Theory, if anything, being fodder to Jay only helps Jay, because Austin Theory has something over Jay and Gunther. He's beaten John Cena at WrestleMania. Neither of them could say that. So if Jay doesn't bring up the fact that he's beaten John, or sorry, if Jay doesn't bring up the fact that Austin beat John and he beat Austin in less than a minute and a half, no sweat. So if I can do that to him, what makes you think I can't do that to you, huh? I put him down in a minute and a half. I'll knock your ass down in half the time. Four letters, one word. If I don't hear that shit, I'll be surprised, because I would drop that shit in a promo like that if I knew I had that over him. That tells me Jay's going over at Mania. The only thing here that I got to say, I don't care about the build anymore. I've lost full interest in the Jey Uso versus Gunther build. I'm bored by it. I'm incredibly bored by it. They are building foundation here, but I'm bored. At this point, I think it's going to be the championship match at Mania that has a shit story going into it, other than the rise of Jey. But the rise of Jey Uso isn't a story. It's just what's happening. Jey's been rising for years at this point, like fucking dough, okay? At this point, I just need to see the match. I don't care about the build anymore. I'll be 100% honest with you. The build has been horrible for me. Myself, personally, my own perspective, I think the build's been shit terrible. Absolutely terrible, lackluster, horribly written, in my opinion. I think it's one of the few Triple H booking L's that he has made for his major title pictures, because he has been really good about booking the men's title pictures across the board in the last 2 years. I think having Jay win at Rumble, absolutely intelligent decision. Having Gunther win it from Priest the way he did, intelligent decision. But Gunther's reign has been boring as fuck. Okay? Jey Uso's, since Royal Rumble, his run, not him, the run they've had him on has been boring as fuck. I don't care anymore. The build is horrible. Let's admit it. Can we be honest? It's probably, in my opinion, next to Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, who actually have real story going in from a year ago's Mania, this might be the worst built match on the card going into Mania.
You just gave me an idea, Mr. Blood. I think for shits and giggles, we should try to come up with ways to make this feud interesting between Jey Uso and Gunther. What does it need? What is it going to take to make this build interesting? Answer it. It's not a question for tonight. We will at some point get together. I want you guys to really think about this one. And then we'll come back and then we'll do a special episode on that later.
And y'all remember, wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Snug Wrestling, at Snug Wrestling on TikTok. Don't forget it.
That's right.
Stay tuned for it. Plug that
Tommy,
shit.
Tell me your final thoughts.
One, I completely forgot about WrestleMania 39 when that happened. I completely forgot about that. Because I think that was the one, I think the reason why I forgot about it is because of the fact that it was blatantly obvious that night one was booked by Vince. It was blatantly obvious, which is why I completely forgot that Theory beat Cena night one.
Yeah. And then after that, his push went down the drain. And they just... Again,
Remember, you take out Jay, who is Gunther defended against if you took out Jay altogether?
Who has he defended against? There's no one I can think of.
Priest
and Randy.
I think, didn't he defend against Sammy? Yeah. I think he's had like three or four defenses since he won it.
Yeah, that should tell you how fucking bad it is. The All fact right. This is supposed to be the workhorse of the two. And in Gunther's hands, it's not.
Yeah, it started off that way with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins was defending it left and right, but Gunther really made the title special and relevant, in my opinion. But that's just me. Let's move on to the main event, because the main event also ties into the match with Penta and Ludwig Kaiser, the no-holds-barred match that Penta won. He beat Kaiser in a very definitive way. And it's because Penta looks like his next up to face Bron Breakker after Bron Breakker successfully defended the Intercontinental Championship versus Finn Balor on this main event of Monday Night Raw. After the Judgment Day, Carlito and Dominic Mysterio, that dirty Dom, he's been having some bad luck as of late when it comes to trying to help out his buddy Finn Balor. Basically, thanks to Dom, Bron Breakker ended up retaining the Intercontinental Championship. Then Penta came out after there was a little squabble after the match. And Penta and Bron Breakker had a nice little stare down. The question I have about this match to you guys, is it just me? Or did Bron Breakker's spear tonight in the last couple weeks have been looking a little more weaker? The reason I'm bringing this up, it could be of one or two reasons, and I want to hear what you guys think about this. Number one, after Speed got taken out by that vicious spear, do you guys think the WWE was like, hey, you need to turn it down there a little bit, Bron Breakker, because you're going to literally break people in half if you go full speed? Or reason number two, Jey Uso is also using the spear. We can't have your spear looking better than the next world heavyweight champion. I mean, are those crazy things to think about here? Who wants to go first? Who wants to share their thoughts about this whole thing? Toxic, we'll go with you first and then Mr. Blood.
The reason I think is because Jay and Braun's spear look the same, even though tonight's their spear looked the same. But the match with Finn Balor and Bron Breakker, amazing match. It was one of those matches that you think we're going to have a title change, but we don't. And I think that we're going to get a Penta and Bron feud that goes all the way to Mania.
The problem I have here is that I think it's actually one of three reasons. Reason number one, you know, the chaos or the speed incident. Yeah, because the kid actually got concussed. Two, it's him and Jay are both using it, and this is supposed to be Jay's year. And if, let's say, Braun goes over at Mania, and so does Jay, then you have two matches that ended with the same fucking move. But I think there's a third one. Too many people are using the goddamn spear. If you have a move that so many people do, that move isn't as special anymore now, is it? Is Sweet Chin Music still special when half the fucking wrestling world uses the super kick? You know, let's not forget, you think of all the people you can think of in the last 14 years that used the fucking spear in WWE, because there's a lot. There's people you forgot used it. Big Show started using it as a signature. You remember the wrestler Caitlyn She used the fucking spear. Goldberg. Goddamn Roman Reigns. Okay? Jey Uso. Now Jimmy Uso uses it as well. Okay? Braun Breaker. So many big names use that fucking spear. Charlotte Flair has been using a spear for 14 years. Okay? So my thing is that it's one of those three reasons, or it's a mixture of all three. Or it could be the fourth one. There's a fourth reason. They don't want Braun to injure himself leading into Mania, and they just want him to play it safe and not go as hard. I think that's also possible. Because Jay's also been wrestling a little softer, too, I've noticed. Because that spear he hit tonight was, oh, and Michael, I want to say this. Michael Cole annoys the shit out of me sometimes. I love Michael Cole. But this man over the last 6 months, I don't know if he's starting to get dementia, is starting to get a lot of moves he's called correctly a million times wrong. He ruined the end of Jay's squash match over Austin because he called the spear a fucking crossbody. Okay? He called it a fucking crossbody. Instead of the hype that match would have ended for on the people watching at home, if we had heard, and a spear by Jey Uso. He went, oh, and he gets him with a crossbody. One, two, three. Oh, and he put him away. He showed up tonight. I was like, you barely sold that finish because you got the shit. What the fuck? You just ruined the end of the match because you called it wrong. But when it comes to this Intercontinental Championship stuff, I thought the match beautifully well done, man. Great fun. I mean, Finn Balor continues to make every man in their mid-40s hope to God they look and move half as well as he does at his age when they get there. I mean, if I could even have half the non-existent body fat that he has when I'm 40 fucking 5 years old, I'll be happy. These guys are great. Finn wrestles like a guy in his 20s. Braun Breaker is the guy in his 20s. This was a fun match. Explosive, great offense. They've got great chemistry. Great chemistry. What I'm worried about is that all of our original theory of Sheamus winning at Mania, I feel like that's dashed. I don't know what's been going on lately, where Sheamus is on TV for a handful of weeks. They take him off for a month, month and a half. He comes back for a couple of weeks. He's off for a month and a half. Have you noticed that about this current run? He's here for a cup of coffee, leaves for a longer cup of coffee, comes back. This could have been Sheamus's year. And now I feel like I don't know who's versing Braun Breaker at Mania. I think at this point now you might as well just throw Finn in there because you just have Finn in the Judgment Day story tied in, right? Bitching about needing to bring gold for Seas back to the Judgment Day. You got Dom is trying to go for the tag titles, right? You got fucking the women's tag team championships have been recruited by Raquel and Liv. And now, you know, you got your weight. JD's out on injury. You got to fill the gold up to keep the story fresh with the faction. So at this point, I'm like, just, bro, stop having all these guys. You got two options here. Either at this point, the biggest match you can have at Mania, in my opinion, if it's not Sheamus, it's you got to pick. It's either Penta or it's either Finn versus Braun. Or the second goddamn option you have is a four-way. Okay? Ludwig, Braun, Penta, and Finn. Because I feel like this is the Mania where we are getting so many multi-man matches, you might as well throw in another one at this point.
So, the match was great. I love the match. It's these two that have they're fantastic in the ring, going head to head. A veteran that has held this title before compared to the current one. But with the spear situation, yes. All three counts. Yes. So like Blood said, he got concussed. Speed literally got concussed from that. Man got a concussion. His ankle got messed up just from that one spear. He had to tone it back a little bit. Because if he didn't, he was going to red rum somebody. he was gonna red rum somebody with it. But with Finn, I feel bad for Dom, man. I feel bad for Dom. Man's gonna get his ass chewed out next week. He's gonna get chewed out so bad it's not even funny. Yes, I know, Snug, before you even say it, pause. Yes.
Resume.
But yeah, like Dom might as well just quit the Judgment Day at this point. Because he is going to get screamed at so bad that Dom might want to run away. That is how bad Balor is going to dig into this man for, yes, accidentally costing him the title, but costing it nonetheless.
I didn't watch the main event because I don't give a fuck, which is very sad to say. I'm very selective. The only thing I give a fuck about is Cody and John and Gunther and Jay when it comes to Monday Night Raw, because the other stories have just been lackluster in my opinion. Because when it comes to the four-way that Blood mentioned, there's a possible chance that they could add Ludwig Kaiser to the situation as well, and it could be a fatal five-way, but it is just starting to get a bit repetitive, in my opinion. Even though they put on banger matches, it's just very repetitive, and I'm kind of getting a bit sick of it. But yeah, I don't give a fuck what they do. I'm just very... The main things I'm interested in, like I said, Gunther, Jay, and John and Cody. Like, those are the only ones that have got me interested.
All right, the last thing that I want to talk about here is the women's division, because we had a contract sign in, and also we had a match between Dakota Kai and Ivy Nile. Now, the only reason I bring up the match with Dakota Kai and Ivy Nile, Dakota Kai has been coming out with Io Sky. She's been, you know, her backup. She's been her friend, her partner for the longest time. But in pro wrestling, especially when you have a championship involved, shout out to Dylan Holyfield, says Mr. Blood, the homie. When it comes to pro wrestling, the biggest storylines, Mr. Blood, your hand gestures were distracting me, but the friend always turns, you know? So, I don't know. This could probably lead to Dakota Kai turning on Io Sky, which is another reason why I would like to see Io Sky retain at WrestleMania. They had the contract signing with Io Sky and Bianca Belair, but these contract signings always go sideways because Rhea Ripley came out, attacked Bianca Belair and Io Sky. Then Rhea Ripley took it upon herself to sign the contract, which then Rhea Ripley claims this is a legal document. Rhea Ripley claims that because she signed it, she's officially part of this match. Is this really how it's all going to go down? Like, it's looking like we're going to have a series of multi-person matches at WrestleMania. And I don't know how I feel about this. So, Tommy, what happened to Tommy? I was going to go with him first, but let's go with Mr. Blood, and then we'll move on from there.
I'll make this pretty quick, the whole thing, because I don't have a lot of thoughts on it. I think my thoughts are pretty concise. Really quick, shout back out to Dylan Holyfield. Thanks, buddy. We go back 25 years to kindergarten. We've been friends. I managed to cut my hair in his garage. Thanks, buddy. I love you. But when it comes to Rhea Ripley, first off, I don't know how Rhea got her own contract if she thinks that what she did is legally binding. All contracts require, first off, you can sign on it, but there was only two spaces to sign: the defender of the title and the opposition vying for the title. Her name isn't mentioned in the contract as a competitor. It's for a one-on-one championship match. You can't just throw your name in there and go, oh, well, I'm going to fuse with Bianca and we'll both take on Rhea in some weird Dragon Ball Z fusion dance. That's not how it works. I think that Rhea is going to keep exploding on these two until it forces Adam Pearce's hand to make it a triple threat. Again, I think that Io was very, very close to becoming an afterthought in this segment because it was a very peaceful contract signing, right? Again, getting real sick and tired of Bianca Belair recently. Her arrogance has been annoying the crap out of me because it feels so out of character for her. And I feel like she's slowly turning heel for some reason. And I'm excited to see the heel turn, but right now, this pompous fucking arrogance that she's dishing out all the time, that is not the girl that is, you know, that role model to all these little girls in the commercials and the Be a Star stuff. You know, the stuff that she's shown us who she is. She's like the more big Build-A-Bear Barbie that Bayley was when Bayley had the Bayley Buddies. Only it's the strong black woman here for the little girls, the community, not the hugger Bayley. That's who Bianca is. Just as talented in the ring as Bayley. Just as over with the kids and the little girls. So to see her pie face EO again, like, I mean, dude, you had a peaceful contract signing. So Rhea comes out. She rightfully, in my opinion, rightfully gets in Bianca's face. Oh, so you can distract me, get in the way in my match, and then come out here all smiles like you fucking earned this one-on-one with fucking EO. Nah, bitch, it should have been me. I may have taken my off the ball, but you shouldn't have been there for my eye to get distracted in the first place. Let's be real. First off, who are you to come out in my championship match and cheer on my opponent and expect me not to have a grievance with that? Because in my head, I'm thinking, oh, you're out here to clown me. You're rooting for her to kick my ass? We're in a competitive sport, bitch. The fuck? So I understand Rhea's anger. And Rhea just straight up didn't put her hands on Bianca this time. This is where I'm saying Bianca is the arrogant asshole in the wrong. She fucking yells back. Io doesn't want to be an afterthought because she's getting close to being an afterthought in these segments. Comes in to remind them who the fuck she is. And Bianca, in my opinion, are you a babyface girl? Why would you full palm this girl who is so much smaller and shove her so far back? She fucking hit the ground. I got time to get smacked today. Like, she didn't touch you. She just went, she was looking in between you. So in my opinion, Bianca's the heel in this trio. Okay? And Bianca took her eye off the ball this time, and she ate a fucking headbutt. Laid up straight on that table, got Io Sky powerbomb straight on top of her, and the table didn't break. So I know that bump that Bianca took from Io, and no pun intended, was snug. Because that shit didn't budge, bro. And Io's like 126 pounds. So I'd be like, oh, that'd be me. I'd be like, get off me, please. Great segment. I think it's going to come down to Rhea straight up continuously interjecting herself wherever she can, beating them up back ring, getting it out of space, wash, rinse, repeat, until maybe the second week before Mania, probably the second week, he finally just folds and goes, you wanted the match? Fine. It's official. And then we'll get them in a go-home segment the next week before Mania where they go in a brawl or something. It's going to be a multi... This is the WrestleMania 41, folks. The multi-man mania. That is what this fucking... It is. No, it really
I
is.
I mean, I'm afraid you're right, unfortunately. All right, let's go Tommy and then BT.
I completely agree with Blood. The big thing, though, is the fact that this women's division in general is just one giant fucking mess. It's like the tag team division on SmackDown. It's just a massive mess. And the biggest issue here is it's very clear, even from the start during her first reign, Rhea is the top girl. It's so clear at this point that Rhea is the top girl and everybody else is a little bit lower than her. Rhea is absolutely the biggest girl. And for what she did, I'm with it. I would have done the same fucking thing. I wouldn't have put my name on the paper, but I absolutely would have gone out there and said, fuck you. You I'll deal with later because you're kind of mini. But Bianca, fuck you. Right? It's very clear that Rhea is the top girl. It's just that simple. She's on top. Everybody else is a little bit lower.
Three things I took away from this. One, Tommy, Rhea is the biggest girl, but she ain't as big as Nia Jax's hole. Okay, let's get that straight. Number two. Rhea Ripley is not Shawn Michaels thinking that she can just fucking draw her name on the contract and everything will be fucking dandy. She's not. Shawn Michaels will get away with that shit in 6.5 seconds, okay? Number three. If I see these ladies disrespect Io Sky one more fucking time, especially Bianca, they are getting so fucking distracted that they're just excluding Io out of the conversation like she's nothing. Like, we get it. Her first title reign wasn't special, okay? We get it. We know that. But fuck me. She's a hell of a fucking talent if you would fucking book her properly. But come on. Come on. Like, the disrespect is just getting ridiculous. So, those are my thoughts on the whole thing.
All right, Toxic.
I completely fucking agree with Mr. Blood. Bianca's pissing me off. I don't even know why. Like, she shot out of one chamber. The whole situation with Rhea costing Io her spot in the chamber because Liv Morgan's a fucking dumbass. It's just, I don't get why do that in the first place. You could easily have Rhea versus Io at Mania. I would be all for that. Bianca, she just inserted herself into this. I genuinely don't get why Bianca is even anywhere close to this feud, mini feud, whatever you want to call it, with Rhea and Io. I don't get it. There was a story going on between them. Chamber happens. Bianca wins. She inserts herself in. It does not make sense to me.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, really quickly before we get out of here.
Like I said, because I'll take us home. Like I said before, the problem we have here with this story, with the interjection of Bianca, when she already has the whole other story going on in SmackDown, was the booking of the chamber was the problem. Bianca never should have won it. Io should have been the one to take the title off of Liv, or Rhea should have taken the title off of Liv, and Io should have been in the chamber. Io should have won the chamber to then challenge Rhea so Rhea could tell the story of, I've never beaten you and I want to beat you. Boom, bang, done. A match we haven't seen Rhea conquer. Okay? And Bianca stays on SmackDown in her own dramatic lover's quarrel. And the women's division on Monday Night Raw looks a whole hell of a lot less messy. It's that simple. I booked that in my head in 20 seconds. Rearrange the chamber participants, and you're fucking done. It was that easy. We didn't need Jade to attack Naomi in the chamber. If Naomi was going to get taken out immediately, that spot should have gone to Io. And Jade could have returned on a SmackDown and beat the crap out of Naomi and we're still off to the races. It's that simple. It should have been that easy. They booked themselves into a corner, tried to book themselves out, booked themselves into the opposite corner, and now here we are. It's too messy, and it didn't have to be. It was so simple. And those are my thoughts on that. But that's how clean it could have and should have been. And now we've got, yet again, to amp up yours and my fear. Now, I'm excited for the unpredictability that multi-man matches bring. I really am, because it's also no DQ, basically, for every fucking match at this point, because there's no DQ in multi-man matches. But we run the risk at Mania of, oh, well, here comes the next Fatal 4-Way, another triple threat. You know, like, oh, plus all the tag team matches, the showcase matches. How many one-on-ones are there actually going to be this year at Mania? Gunther versus Jay and fucking John versus Cody. Can you find me another one that matters aside from Drew versus Damian?
Tiffy versus Charlotte.
Okay, we got four out of two nights.
Jade versus Naomi.
If they put that on Mania, that motherfucker better be in the pre-show.
If they do, it's going to be record-breaking because it'll be the first women's non-title match in a WrestleMania in like over 20 years.
That's true. But at the same time,
we'll see what happens.
That would take up a space in the card that should have been Bianca versus Jade, not Naomi versus Jade.
Well, with that, you guys, we also had Seth Rollins cut a promo, and we had a weird backstage segment with AJ Styles and Karrion Kross. But other than that, that was Monday Night Raw, you guys. Thank you guys once again for hanging out, watching, and listening. Thank you, Blood. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, BT and Toxic. You guys are awesome. Until next time, my name is Edgar. I'm the host of the Snug Wrestling Podcast, and we will talk soon.
Four letters, one word.